Psalm 103. We continue to see the gospel throughout the Bible. Just give your attention to the Word of God. Psalm 103 of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What do you think God is like? You know, there's a spiritual struggle connected with that question. First of all, because we don't see God, and that's how we get most of our information, by seeing. So first, we have a problem with knowing what God is like. We do not see Him. But secondly, we have a spiritual struggle with how we think about God, because God has an enemy who slanders Him. Constantly, the devil wants to turn your mind against God. And if he can't get you to thinking the wrong way about God one way, then he will very quickly shift and get you thinking the wrong way about God in the opposite way. And so David here in Psalm 103 lays down one marker in opposition to the devil. He says, if you knew God the way I know Him, you would bless Him gladly. He's saying, those who know God truly bless Him wholeheartedly. And so in light of the devil's ceaseless efforts to slander God, let us remember that to know God truly is to bless Him. He begins, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. It's as if he's looking into the mirror and saying to his reflection, you know the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. So let's go. Let's do it. Bless the Lord. That's one aspect of loving God. It's not all of it. The part of it is that you love God, you think well of Him, you speak well of Him, you worship Him, you bless Him. But even when we know this is right, we find it hard to sustain. As Calvin likes to say, we are sluggish. We're used to thinking of pride as the most serious, most deadly of the deadly sins, and it probably is, but the ancient monks thought that sloth was just not wanting to really do anything. And so to combat our sluggishness, He goes on in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Don't forget what God has done for you. And that's hard for us, because as soon as one problem is solved, our natural human tendency is to say, okay, good, and go on and, oh, our next problem. Remember seeing this when I taught at a private school. Some of the faculty wasn't that good at dealing with problem students. And so, oh, if only we could expel Chris. Well, it's a private school, so we would get Chris expelled. And you think, okay, so it's all good now, right? No. If only we could expel Tiffany. And he's like, well, no, wait a minute. First of all, we need somebody paying tuition. But secondly, if we had said to you a month ago we would have been rid of Chris, you would have been happy. That's all of us. We have a big problem. It dominates our thoughts. God blesses us. He hears our prayers. He removes the problem. We're thankful for a split second, satisfied for a minute, and now, if only we didn't have our next problem. That's not right. I mean, when God answers our prayers and helps us, he showed us a lot. He showed us he's real. He showed us that he hears our prayers, that he cares about us. He's given us a lifelong help for our faith when he answers a prayer. We've got to hang on to that. And so David gives us a list of benefits, as does the catechism, by the way. Don't forget his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, all your sin. Now, why does that come first? Well, because that's what breaks the relationship. Sin is what breaks your relationship with God. His forgiveness is what restores it. That's why he leads off with that. Let the relationship be restored, and the other benefits flow to you. Who heals all your diseases? You can read that the wrong way and quarrel. You say, well, what about my chronic illness that isn't healed? What about the fatal one that'll kill me? Yeah, all the ones you have been healed of, you should thank the Lord that he healed you. As for eternity, we'll get to that later. Yes, every time you've been healed, you should bless the Lord. Not everything gets healed. Something's going to get you. But you have been healed many times. You should give the Lord the credit, along with the antibiotic. Who redeems your life from the pit. You know, there are moments in your life, and the older you are, or the more reckless you are, the more of them you have, where you could have died. Now, anybody who's driven for any length of time, you can remember that time when you hit the brake too hard and you were in an uncontrollable skid, and if traffic had been lined up a little differently, you wouldn't be here. I can remember driving on Lincoln Drive and it just started to rain and I jammed on the brake and whoo, right across oncoming traffic. Pretty busy time, but somehow there was a gap. We all stopped, looked at each other, and I went on my way. I could have died. It could have been really ugly. We all have those moments. But here we are. He has redeemed our life from the pit. And who crowns you with mercy and steadfast love. We're not just breathing, we're here. And God's mercy is with us. God is with us. He has crowned you with these good things. Who satisfies you with good. How many good things we have. And after we are sick, our strength returns to us. So to combat your reluctance, remember what God has done. Spend some time on it in your mind. Spend some time not only on the pleases, but also on the thank yous and on the blessing. And he goes on to the collective benefits. He's not just the God of individuals. He's the God of the world. He's the God of society and nations. He's the God of his church. So it says, verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. This great biblical theme that God is on the side of the orphan. God is on the side of the stranger. God is on the side of the guy who got cheated. And he gives a particular instance. When Israel's ancestors were slaves, then God set them free. He made known his ways to Moses, the leader, when God set them free. He showed Israel his works. And here David practices what he's preaching. He is remembering God's great past benefit. He said, remember his benefits. He's remembering a benefit, even though it was hundreds of years before. And he remembers what God said. When God passed before Moses and did not let Moses see his face, but he proclaimed his name. And his name was the Lord, a God merciful and gracious. I told you last week that was a refrain, and here it is again in another psalm. The character of God as he proclaims it himself in Exodus 34. And that was what God said after the golden calf. After Israel had been infuriatingly faithless, making a covenant and then turning away in 40 days, making a statue and saying, oh, here's your God, this statue. And so the great point is that God does not give us what we deserve. He gives us much better. And so we get two similes, even three analogies. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how great his love is. You look up, you see that plane that's way up there. That's how great God's love is. No. You see the moon way up there. This is how great God's love is. You have to stop there. You can see the stars. There you go. The heavens. So great is his love. And how far is that? And a second simile. As far as east is from west, so far he removes your sins from you. Drive across the country sometime, east to west. Take your days. So far your sins. No, it's farther than that. Fly over the Pacific sometime. Fly to China. 500 miles an hour, and it goes on forever. Yeah, it's as wide as is the Pacific. So far he removes our sins from us. And then the third simile. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And isn't that a challenge for fathers? We're supposed to be so compassionate that it becomes a picture of God's compassion. And the first two similes are obvious and permanent. The stars are way up there. East, on their reckoning, is a long way from west. And now David takes it for granted that fathers are a suitable simile, analogy for God's compassion. We could be psychological and guess that Jesse was a very good father, David's father. But the important part is that we need to be the same. And it's a challenge because we are all weak. That's the next point. That's the reason God is compassionate, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. That's the reason fathers should be compassionate. The kid's small, take it easy. And so are we. God knows that we're easily tired. He remembers our lives are like grass. And so it is. Life is short. But if we live short, how much good can God do for us? I mean, how much blessing can grass absorb? If life is so short, might it be better not to eat, drink, and be merry? And so we go on to the next point. Yes, we're like a flower that's gone tomorrow, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Now, how is his love going to be everlasting if we die as fast as grass? Well, it says here that our death does not end his love for us. His love continues for us. And Jesus taught us that God does not love the non-existent. He loves the living. So Jesus reasons from, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus reasons from that, that therefore Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive if God is their God. And so we find that we have eternal life not so much because of some property in ourselves as because of God's love for us. And we find the importance of God forgiving us. If we're going to relate to him forever, let it be a peaceful relationship. It's bad enough to live in a house or a room with somebody who hasn't forgiven you. If you got roommate problems, this is a problem. If you got spouse problems, that's worse. But can you imagine living forever with unresolved problems? That's why God forgiving us is central to our relationship with Him. That's why Jesus dying as the Lamb of God for our sins is the one that we need. His sacrifice, His atonement, His substitution in our place. That is why God justly does not need to deal with us as our sins deserve. That's why He can be just in dealing with sin and the justifier of all who believe in Jesus. But here in Psalm 103, He's concerned with our side. God's love is from everlasting to everlasting on whom? On those who fear Him, to those who keep His covenant, to those who remember to do His commandments. Now, sometimes we read that, and we read that as if that were a different plan of salvation from the New Testament. If you read it that way, you're reading it against our confession, which says there is one covenant of grace, the same in substance, though differently administered. No, David was saved through faith in the coming Messiah and repentance. And we are saved through faith in the Messiah who has come and repentance. And the coming of the Messiah changes some things, but it's the same principle. It's repentance and faith in the one that God gives us. And so read this that way. Are we to fear God? Yes. Not the terror that leads you running in the other direction, but the deep respect, the fear of crossing God. Yes, we should be afraid to cross God. Are we to keep covenant? Well, of course. Jesus made the new covenant in His blood, and He said, do this in remembrance of Me. So we're to seek to do it. And are we to keep His commandments? Sometimes we stay away from that. We know that's not the basis of our salvation, because it's not perfect, and God is perfect. But Jesus said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. We're told, love your neighbor as yourself is the royal law. It's the golden rule. So are we to keep His commandments? Yes. Because while we're justified by faith alone, the faith that justifies is never alone, but is always accompanied by love and good works. And another way of saying love and good works is those who fear Him, who keep His covenant, and keep His commandments. That's another way of saying love and good works. And so we find the gospel in Psalm 103. God so loved the world. We see His compassion as the root of all things. It is the basis of Him making a way for forgiveness as a way of expressing His eternal love. And we see the call for repentance and this call to bless and to fear and to keep covenant. And then we're assured that God is able to deliver on His plans because He's established His throne in the heavens and His kingdom rules over all. So when you know God truly as David did, how do you respond to Him? Well, you praise Him. And David starts with heaven. Let the angels bless Him, the mighty ones who do what He says. Let His hosts bless Him. They may be thinking of a distinction between angels. And then He comes down to earth. All His works bless Him in all places. Wherever they are, let His works praise Him. God's gracious and compassionate, that's who He is. And so all that He has made should respond with thanks, including David. And including you, and including me, we should all bless the Lord. And so when you know Him rightly, then you gladly do. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You are, all that You have done, and all that You will do. And we pray that we would not give way to slanders of our own or of another's making. Help us rather to bless You, as You indeed most richly bless us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.